in that song we just sang, there was a reference to Jesus fasting alone in the desert and also facing the temptations, which he did. Temptations and trials, we know, are common to life, and each and every one of us have to face them on a regular basis. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be put through situations where we're tried, our faith is tested, and we have to be able to overcome, because Satan seeks through the temptation to entice us to sin and cause us to, hopefully on his part, get us to continue in that and not turn away from it, which of course results in the loss of a soul. In Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, we read about the temptations that Jesus went through. Three of them, of course, specifically mentioned to us in those chapters. And we see that each and every time Jesus, when he is tempted, considers what his Father's will is. And he does that by taking his mind to the Scriptures. It is written, he would say, each and every time, reflecting upon what God would have him to do and what the proper course of action would be. That's how we have to think, and that's the only way to be prepared when temptation comes. If we don't know God's will, we certainly can't know what direction we should take when we're tempted as to should I or should I not. Or if we haven't really made up our mind that God's will is going to be my will, I'm going to do it no matter what, well then when the temptation comes, you're having to make a choice when the choice should have already been made long ago, that God's will is what you're going to do. In James, the very first chapter, in verse 12, James says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Blessed is the man who does what? Endures temptation. It's not a promise that we're given that if you become a child of God, temptations are going to be lightened, minimized. No. You're just going to have to endure them. They're going to come. They will never stop coming. They will be with us in our youth. They will be with us in our old age. We see those who are young being warned to seek God in the days of your youth. We see those who are much older in years, like Solomon, departing from what is right and falling into sin. So we will always be faced with temptations. But here's the thing, we can endure. Because the expectation is, or the presentation in this verse is, that blessed is the man who does this. If he couldn't do it, it wouldn't be put this way. But you can, and we must, endure temptation. It's going to come, but we can push through it. We can overcome it. We can take the proper course, as the Bible teaches us we must. Because when all is said and done, what do you receive? James says, the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, when you endure temptation as opposed to yielding to it, what you're showing God is that you love him more than you love whatever that temptation is. There's going to be a desire, or it's not going to be a temptation to you. And everybody's temptations, or what appeals to each of us, is going to be different somewhat. But the desire is there, and we must say no to the desire. We must cause the inner man to be the stronger, that is, the spirit within us, to be the leader, and it will lead our flesh, it will lead our mind, because there's the fleshly body and there's the fleshly mind. The fleshly mind goes off and thinks about things, contemplates things that are corrupt sometimes. The spiritual man within can rule that, can say no to that, take the mind somewhere else, and rule the body as well. If we love God, we'll receive the crown of life. And a part of loving God is enduring temptation, as our Lord does. What that requires of us is knowing God's will, just as Jesus did, so that we can say to ourselves, it is written. I know what God wants me to do here. I know what I must do. And surely in all of that comes to our minds what God has done for us. How can we continue in sin? Now, it's one thing to stumble in a moment of weakness, and it's another thing to continue in sin. when we think about what God gave and what Christ voluntarily laid down for us, it's hard, if we really think that through, to be able to just proceed knowing what we're doing when God has done so much for us. So our mindset has to be, we're going to endure when temptation comes and we're going to succeed in overcoming that. But James says, don't reach any false conclusions. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Notice, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We cannot lay blame at God, and we cannot point the finger at any other person, because every single one of us makes a choice when we choose to sin. We don't have to sin. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that God makes a way of escape, right? Always. You are never going to be tempted so much that you cannot bear it. Temptation relates to your desire. That's what he shows us here. You're tempted when you're drawn away by your own desires and enticed. You desire to do something, to have something, to say something, and it may not be right. But you have power over yourself to choose to do or not to do. That's what we have. Therefore, we have to understand it is all, God is saying, it's all going to come upon you. You don't point the finger at God. You take responsibility and understand this is how it works. You're tempted by when your desires are stirred and you are enticed. And then he says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sin is something that happens once we allow the desire to take over. We don't fight against it. We don't endure when that temptation comes. We yield. And the more we yield, and the repeated yielding to that forms a pattern. He says when that happens, the end result of that sin, when it is full grown, when it comes to its fullness, is going to be death. That's a scary thought. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. Separation from God. But think about one's existence in that separation and how it's described in the scriptures. Place of darkness, place where there is weeping and there's gnashing of teeth, indicating tremendous suffering, and we're told it's eternal torment. Fires that are ever burning. It's a picture, it's a description of a place that should to us be horrifying and should affect our thoughts about how we're going to deal with temptation when it comes, and taking sin seriously and making sure that we realize the God that we serve is a God who wants none of that for us. What he wants for us is the strength to endure. He seeks to motivate us by reminding us there's the crown and it's awaiting you. Furthermore, we know our Lord has said, I will not leave you or forsake you. We know that we have a God who wants us to succeed, and he is not willing, 2 Peter 3:9, that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. So changing our hearts so that our actions can change. And when you change your heart, that's going to help you endure temptation, because now your mindset is dead set against it. And you realize when that happens, there is one you cannot see, an enemy that has been at the heels of man since the beginning, that is seeking your destruction, and you can conquer him with Christ on your side. Tonight, as you reflect upon your life, where do you stand and how is life going when it comes to temptation? Realize you can and will have success if your mind is with God, if your heart is with God, if you lean upon him and you cling to his word, the direction you need to take will be clear, and his help will be ever present. But if you haven't even made up your mind, and sin is something you enjoy, and you keep going back to it, something's got to change. Because James says the end result, if this path continues, is death. No one wants that. You don't want to wait till it's too late. You want to be sober-minded and clear-thinking in the here and now because of what's at stake. And the Lord, through His Word, shows the path to heaven, the path to salvation, belief in Jesus Christ as God's Son, a turning away from sin, and in its place you live for God, acknowledging your faith in Jesus Christ and being baptized, where the sins that you have been bearing, that which should produce guilt, is gone forevermore, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then it's the beginning of a new life. The journey that leads to heaven is difficult, but the Lord is helping you all along the way. And He has shown you how to overcome temptation. Look to God and His Word. If you've not been doing that as a child of God, tonight we can help you. We can pray for you. We love you as your family. Please come as we stand and as we sing.